Amen. Great. So thanks, Yodia, for sharing that. I think there's something that God wants us to understand of joy. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us. That you can't you help yourself but just be with us. You want to be with us. You're not offended by our sin. You don't want to run away from our sin or our weakness or insecurities. You love us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Great. Cool. We're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about it this week, next week, and the week after that. So next week, we're going to talk about romantic relationships. Who of you love romantic relationships? So we're going to invite your friends. We're going to look at the Bible, and we're going to see what the Bible says about romantic relationships, because that's such an important thing. And today it's going to be the foundation of how does love work. Think of this. Imagine an alien lands in George, and he switches on the radio. What would you say would be the theme of most of the music that he will hear? Love. And a very specific kind of love. Mostly romantic love, and mostly a little distorted also. Do you know that we are so bombarded with messages about love, trying to define love for us, that we not always know what real love is? So I want you to repeat this after me. Everything starts with good theology. Say this. Do you know what that means? What does theology mean? Who of you know what theology means? What is theos? Theos, it's two Greek words, theos and logos. Theos means God. Logos means it's word, but it also has to do with thoughts of God. So everything that we do starts with thoughts on how God thinks about this specific topic. So everything starts with good theology. So if you want to look at love, you can't go to your iPod, you can't go to iTunes and find out what love is really about. You need to go to the Bible. You need to go back into the Word, and you need to go to God, like, God, reveal love for me. And we're going to look at why love is such a big thing in our time. Let's read John 3, verse 16 to 18. It's probably the most famous passage on love in the Bible, with 1 Corinthians 13. It's also a good passage to read if you want to think about love. So, John 3, verse 16. For God so hated this world. He so loved this world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. What a promise. There's a reason why this verse is such a cliche in Christianity, because it's so loaded with goodness. God so loved that he gave, so that we don't have to perish, we don't have to go to hell, we can have eternal love because of God's love and Jesus' death on the cross. And then verse 17, it says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. The reason for Jesus' coming was never to condemn you, was never to tell you, hey, you are so useless, you will never be able to amount to anything. You are stupid. You're idiot. That's never Jesus. That was not the reason for him coming. He was never there to condemn us, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's only Son. So here's the thing that I want you to understand. is that everything started with love. Everything started with love. In the beginning, God created us in His image. So, and if you look at 1 John, what's God is? What does 1 John say? God is love. So if we are created in God's image, then we are created in the image of love. That's why we have this massive question mark in our lives. What is love? How do I find love? Who will love me? Who will I love? What is this? I have this hole in my being. I need to be loved and I need to give love. How does this thing work? So we will do really well if we not only go to school to get education and to understand science and maths and all of these good things, but that we actually learn in growing up how to love. Because if we are created in the image of love, then our identity is love. That means that we need to understand love, else we're not going to understand ourselves. And John 3 verse 16, it says that because God so loved, He sent Jesus. And then Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Many times we want to focus on truth, only on truth. Be like, hey, what does the Bible say? What are the 3 steps to salvation? What are this thing? In school we are taught to value knowledge, and that has all about empirical knowledge about truth. But it says here that because of God's love, truth came. So it's only in the context of love that we will understand truth. So everything is about love. We're created in the image of love. The solution to this world's problems were birthed out of love. And then what is the biggest commandment? What are the 2 biggest commandments? Love. So we are love. The solution to all our problems came because of love, and we have the assignment of love. Just as love, 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 love. So maybe the artists, they're not too far from the truth, singing about love. Yes, maybe the way that they define love is wrong, but their desire to explain love and their desire to communicate love, that comes from a godly place because we are created in His image, and that's love. See, if you're sitting here and you want to be loved, it is a good thing. And if you want to love, it is an amazing thing. So, Christianity basically works like this. We start living our lives, and then we realize that our parents can't fulfill this void, this love void in our lives. Yes, they can help us. They can create an environment for us to feel love and to feel safe. But they will never fulfill that void that was created by sin. It's only Jesus, it's only God that can fulfill that deep, deep desire for love. And then somewhere down the line, you meet with love, and that love has a name, and His name is Jesus. And suddenly you realize, this is what I was created for. Whoever you in this room, the moment you got saved, you're like, man, now I realize what I was created for. Now I know who I really was. It's because you met love and you were created in the image of love. Suddenly you know. But so many times after that, we carry on and we leave love on the side and we carry on into good doctrine and we carry on just in truth without love, if we forget that everything stems from love. So it's really important to understand that there's a relationship between truth and love. Love is also truth. In other words, you can ask God to reveal it to you. You can have understanding of love. You can look at the scriptures and you can see how Jesus, who was the truth, lived out this assignment of love because He modeled it for us. So love is also, it is truth. It is absolute truth. It's not an emotion only. There's a big emotional thing connected to that. Yes, obviously. But it is also, it's truth. And then also, if you look at the big commandment, a lot of people would say, hey, Armel, no, I just follow Jesus. I'm just obedient. I'm just going to be this person. I'm going to tell them the truth. It doesn't matter if they're offended. Then I ask them, hey, so what is the biggest commandment? The biggest thing that you need to obey is not to be right all the time, to always go and Bible bash people. What is the biggest commandment? The biggest commandment is to love God, to have an amazing relationship with God, but also then to love other people. If you're walking the road with people and people don't feel loved, then you're missing the biggest commandment. Then it's probably true that you don't know who you are. You don't know how much love you have received from God. You don't know that your identity is love, because that's why you can't really love that well. So let's look at, how can we define love? What is love? Jesus. Jesus is love, but then he also says some amazing things about love. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So he says, hey, you see love sometimes, but this is real love. This is the greatest form of love, is that when one lays down, when you lay down your life for your friends. John Vanier, he's a Catholic guy who started these homes for mentally disabled people. And he would just love these people in these houses and allow them to feel their worth as human beings. And he said the following. He said, love is to reveal the beauty of another person to themselves. Yeah, that's beautiful. Do you know that the most unloving people, the people that offend you the most, are actually the people that need the most love? It's a weird thing. It's a weird thing. I'm discerning that guy. I don't like him. It's not biblical. What God's actually trying to teach you, hey, this guy needs love. So you are called as a Christian to go to Armand and say, hey, Armand, yes, you're offending me with the way that you speak, the way that you talk, the way that you maybe dress. No, Armand never offends people with the way he dresses. He's such a cool guy. And I'm like, I have been called, my assignment is love. I've been called to reveal your beauty to yourself. I'm going to make it my mission to reveal your beauty to yourself. By the end of this year, Armand, you're going to be so in love with how God created you, you won't even believe how cool you are. That's my mission with my kids. I'm like, hey, Eva, you are the most amazing, coolest, cleverest kid ever. And I constantly speak it into their lives. Why? Because love reveals the beauty to that person. I was so impressed with my relationship with my oldest daughter. The other day, I was asking, hey, Eva, do you know that Papa really loves you? I really love you. Do you know that? What do you think? If somebody tries to kill you, would I step in the way and let that person rather kill me? Do you think Papa will do that? She's like, yeah. She kept on playing her game. I'm like, does she really understand what she said there? She knows that I love her. Same with Nicholas, same with Armel, same with Julia. I love them. And I'm constantly looking for ways to reveal their beauty to themselves. Imagine we have a whole room of people that's into that game. Not walking into church, I hope Luke has a good message. I hope Alma has a good message. I hope the worship is going to be amazing. I hope God has a word for me. No. What about whole church? Like, wow, I'm going to reveal the beauty of people to themselves. Oh, Boozy, you know what? You're amazing. And she is amazing. A prayer warrior. Like, if you have ever been in ministry, you value people that are praying. Tracy over here, she just fell in love a couple of weeks ago. And you can just see that the beauty and the redness and the love. But can you... There were always these people. I had these friends. It was just always the nicest people to be around. Like, there were some of my friends. They were friends because we maybe did some sport together or whatever. And then there were these friends. You just want to be with them. Because you feel loved when you're around them. And I had this friend, whenever I talked to him, he would go, "Amo, is that really? Wow. Amo, wow. Amo, that's amazing. Wow." I'm like, I feel so loved. And he just had that gift from a very young age. That's how, his name is Ati. He would say, "Amo, my name," the whole time. And you know, the sweetest sound to anybody is his name. So sometimes just loving somebody is just to remember their name. And then everybody says, "Yo, like, I'm not good with names." No, you just don't love that person enough. No, it's, hey, that is true. That is true. Say for instance, I'm a guy. I'm a 16-year-old guy. And there's the most beautiful girl walks through that door. And somebody whispers her name. Angelina. I'm gonna remember the name. Like, because there's something, you understand what I mean? So here's the problem with love. Loving God, in a way, is easy. Because we know that God is good. We know that God sent Jesus to die on the cross. We know that He is amazing. But horizontal love, loving other people, the problem is that the other person is not perfect. And Jesus modeled it for us. He's like, "I love my Father. I love spending time with Him. I love who He is. But then I also love you." But that person that you are called to love is not perfect. He's not going to respond in a way that you would love him to respond. And here's where the definition of love kicks in. Love, in its nature, in its definition, will allow for the other person to choose the way that he responds or she responds to your love. So that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. God said, "I created people in my image. I love them. But because I love them, I also need to allow them to choose, have the ability to choose for or against me, else it's not love." Love never forces itself. Love never controls. Because it's not about the response that I want. It's about the person responding in its own will to my love. So if somebody comes to me and say, "Hey, I want to start building with that relationship with that guy, but, you know, man, he's just weird. He doesn't reply to my WhatsApp messages. I can see the blue dots. There's nothing there. The ticks. I walk down the street. He looks me in the eye. He doesn't even remember me." That shouldn't put you off. You must go like, "Hey, I just need to love. The response will not determine the way that I love somebody. It cannot." Yes, maybe it will determine the deep and the the depth of your relationship, yes, that's natural, but it cannot determine how much you love somebody. Especially if we think that the most unloving people needs the most love. If you grow up in a family, your mom didn't like you, your dad didn't like you, your dad put you on the streets, and there were some of the Bethel guys that Luke and I had the privilege of ministering to, they came from that kind of background, and then they still float in the Holy Spirit and miracles happen. Just, you know, they're very, very normal people with heavy backgrounds, some of them. If you then grow up, you're going to struggle to trust people. If somebody sends you a WhatsApp and he's like, hey, I'm inviting you for coffee, you're going to think, what does this person want from me? Oh man, maybe he's going to abduct me. Maybe he's going to... That's a crazy thing, that if you don't grow up in a healthy family, crazy thoughts will come through your mind. Okay, so love has everything to do with the other person. It doesn't say here, greater love is no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends when they respond in the manner that I want them to respond. No, it doesn't say that. So if you want to be a good friend, if you want to have good relationships, just think of, hey, I want to reveal Fuku's beauty to himself. People are going to want to spend time with you. And if you're full of Jesus, and if you allow Jesus to do that to you, then it's so easy to do that to other people. So easy. Okay, so let's look at just the main goal of love is connection. Okay, so what do I mean by connection? So I love Armand. So my main goal in this relationship is not for me to have a need fulfilled. The main goal of love in this relationship is not for me to feel like I'm always right and I can control Armand and he can do stuff for me. The main goal is connection, to keep this, it's sort of a transaction of the beauty of Armand and the beauty of Armor just flowing together. So that's the main goal. And how do we do that? We do that by building into each other. So if I say that I love Armand, I want to add value to his life. I want to listen to Armand. Oh, he's engaged. He wants to get married. I'm going to listen to what he speaks. I'm going to listen to, hey, God's revealing his secret heart's desires to me. What does he want? Maybe I don't have the money to sponsor his wedding, but maybe I can pray for this. Can you understand? So love says, I'm not going to wait for a month to say, hey, Amo, I want this and this and this. I'm going to see where I can build and add value. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, love should restore. So now Armand and I, we are walking a road together, and then Armand makes a comment about my sneakers, or by my nose, or my wife, or my children, or the way that I speak, and I'm like, yes. And maybe it's a stupid example, but many times the big breakups and disconnection happens with stupid things like that. Then I'm like, I'm gonna just forgive Armand. And say, hey, Armand, I forgive you. Sometimes I don't even have to tell him that. I'm just saying, hey, he didn't know what he was saying. I'm just forgive him. And then time goes by and we have a relationship. And suddenly I realize that Armand and I, this like distance. Whenever I walk into the church, Armand's sitting on that side. I'm sitting on that side. He doesn't want to interact with me. And then I realize there's something that happened. And then I was like, Armand, I feel a disconnect here. And then Armand tells me, hey, Amo, you haven't replied to my WhatsApp messages. This is like, I'm speaking from experience now. You haven't replied to my WhatsApp. I've asked you 3 times. what do you think about Lihani? And you've not once replied. And I'm like, oh man, Armand, I'm so bad with WhatsApps. At the moment, I have 80 messages lying there in my inbox, and that, which is also true. I'm really so sorry. I'm not going to get mad at Armand for being mad at me and being disconnected. I'm just going to want to restore the connection. I'm not going to try and defend myself and say, I'm so busy, can't believe you get angry at me for such a small thing, blah, 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 blah. No, I'm just going to say, hey, sorry, I'm really sorry. Let me look at the WhatsApp quickly. Hey, Amo, what do you think about Lihani? Do you really think it's a good wife for me? And I would just, she's brilliant. You need her, man. Why are you worried? She's amazing. Okay, so restore and then purify. Sometimes there's a problem because of sin in a relationship. There's a problem because of sin against love. Like this person will constantly tell you about how bad you are, or how the way that you deal with your children is wrong. And that happens often if you have kids. And you're like, hey, I need to confront this guy. I need to just tell him, hey, okay, sorry, listen here. You're not going to speak to me like that. You are constantly dragging me down. If we're going to be friends and we keep on this connection, then I want you to respect me. I want you to speak in an honorable way to me. And if Luke's not married yet and he's living with Monica and they're living together, and I can see all the red lights, then they will also distort our connection. Because I'm following Jesus. I just want to follow Jesus with it. And I want to be pure and I want to preach purity and holiness. So now suddenly my friend is not living and I know that he has a value for holiness. The connection is distorted. And this is the most difficult part of love. Then I need to go to, hey Luke, we're going to have a coffee date. I want to talk to you about something. And Luke's like, oh great, get you at Beans About Coffee. And then I sit him down and I say, hey Luke, I've really prayed about it. This thing, you living with Monica, you know what kind of image that portrays to the world. You want to be a pastor, but what's happening at the moment, people are looking at you and say, if Luke and Monica can't get that right, if they can't keep themselves pure before marriage, why should I? And he wants to be in the ministry. You are a leader, Luke. You're a leader. That's kind of, you need to set that example. So you understand, there's a, love is not always like, oh, you're amazing. Love is confrontational. If you are married for any length of time, you'll know. Sometimes you need to confront your wife. And it's not like, I'm the boss, you're going to listen to me. It's like, the idea is to restore connection. To restore connection. Like, Cornell has confronted me countless of times. And it's about small things and bad and big things. Hey, Amo, you need to lock up at night, every night. That's the man's responsibility. I don't think that's a sin, but that's a confrontation. If you really want to love me, you always ask me, how can you love me better? Just do that, Amo. So now I'm in the habit of actually doing that. Took me a couple of years. So confrontation is part of it. Some of you are already thinking of people, you know, you had a connection and then this guy just drifted away because you were afraid to confront. Because sometimes we're afraid to confront because we think we're going to lose that person. But you're anyway losing that person. Why not just confronting that person? Obviously, always in love. Ephesians 4 verse 15 says, speak the truth, but speak it in the context of love. If you can't say with a sincere heart, this is because you love that person, as you have the best in mind for this person, don't do it. It's not about you being right and you being so early, and I didn't have sex before marriage, so I'm going to force it on Luke. No, that's not. They're like, hey, it's the best thing for his marriage ever. It's the best thing for Luke to get this thing right. before marriage. Great. So I'm using that example. It's sort of an intro to next week because that's so important to talk about also in romantic relationships, sex and everything. Then boundaries. So you need to protect your love. Do you know that if Cornell and I, if we have a good relationship, if our family have there's love in our family, then I'm going to be a much better lover of people that needs love outside of my family. Ask anybody that went through a divorce. The worst thing was they couldn't love people outside their family. Like I've been involved with pastors, they got divorced. They lost everything. They lost their ability to love their congregation. Why? Because they did not protect the love they have for people closest to them. So some of you need to go back home and you draw up these concentric circles. In the middle, you put God. You say, this is the love that you will protect with everything. Nobody, not even your wife, not even your children, can get into that thing. Not even your job, your boss. Nobody is allowed in there. That's only God resides in that center. And then beyond that, you maybe have a best friend, your family, your wife, your husband. And you need to protect those relationships because those relationships are the relationships that will build your love capacity. Because where do we want to get? We want to get where a prostitute walks into our house and we're like, hey, our house is open. There's so much love in our house. All the relationships, we are well connected to each other. And they're going to experience the love in our house. But if you didn't protect the love in the inner circle, you will not be able to love well to the outside. Yesterday morning, I had this opportunity to do kingdom stuff and to connect with people, something I really enjoy. And I said no. And the reason why I said no is because I had a jog date with my wife. And maybe for some people that looks like, wow, that's such a mundane thing. Go jogging with your wife and rather spend time with some amazing Bethel people and doing stuff with them. No. What am I doing? I'm protecting my capacity to love people that really need love. Great. So will we all do that? Okay, to sum up, love is not about you. We were created in love. So if you need to know what love is, go to your Bible, study Jesus. Look at how he interacts with people. See what he is doing. Why could he love so well? Because he went up into the mountain to pray with God very frequently. And so often it speaks of, and Jesus went up in the mountain and he spent time in prayer. He had so much love filling him from God that he could love other people well. The most broken people felt welcomed and he had so much love to give. Why? Because he spent time with God. So love is not about you. It's about connection with this other person and revealing the beauty through this connection. Because only in connection you can reveal the beauty of this other person. Great. I want all of you to stand.